happen afterward. So what I thought we'd talk about today is the question of what we should use for Ner Chanukah. Should we use olive oil? What kind of olive oil? Should we use candles? So just by way of introduction, let me say this. There were two great miracles, as we all know. There was the military victory. But the Braisa in the Gemara of Mai Chanukah puts the emphasis not on the military victory, but on the finding of the Pach HaShemen. And that Pach HaShemen had within it enough oil to last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. So this is a discussion unto itself as to what motivated and what generated the takana, the establishment of Chanukah. Was it the Pach HaShemen, as it seems by the Braisa, or was it the military victory in the Alei Nisim? There's no mention really of the Pach HaShemen, but that's an issue unto itself. But since, of course, we're dealing with the Pach HaShemen, and the oil lasted for 8 days, that's the miracle of Chanukah, we want to see to what extent does shemen, does oil play a role? Is it involved in the not only the miracle that brought about Chanukah, but also in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? And we'll touch on some of the laws and principles that guide us with regard to Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. So question number one is, do we prefer olive oil over candles? What about wax candles? And l'chatchila, should we perhaps prefer in certain cases wax candles, in other cases should we prefer to use oil for the Chanukah menorah? And then we're going to have another fascinating question, that even if you prefer oil l'chatchila, what kind of oil? And we'll soon see one of the meshivim, one of the tshuvas in our contemporary society, claims that not all oils would fill the bill of Ner Chanukah. So let's look at the section here on your page one that starts with Adifus Shemen Zayis. And when we're going to ask the question, why is olive oil preferable to, let's say, wax candles, we're going to come up with two different answers to that question as we go through the Ramah and other sources. And it could be nafkaminas between those two answers. So if you take a look at your paragraph, you see a quote from the Rokeach. He was one of the early Achronim, and he is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Tafresh Ayin Gimel, and he claims that the reason why Shemen Zayis is superior for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is simply because it gives a clear light. He calls it Or Tzalul, a clear light. Now, that shita of the Rokeach is codified by the Ramah. However, the Ramah gives a second reason as well. So let's first focus on the second paragraph that you have here, the Gemara in Masech de Shabbos. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Hashmonim Kulam Yofim Lener, that technically speaking, any oil is perfectly acceptable for the Ner. It doesn't have to be olive oil, Shemen Zayit. However, Shemen Zayit Mina Muvchar. Mina Muvchar means to enhance my mitzvah, that's called a Heder mitzvah, I should choose Shemen Zayit. And Rabbi actually acted out on this statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He says, Meresh, initially, Havi Mahader Mar Amishcha Deshum Shemei, I thought that I should prefer oil that's made from Shumshamin, that's called sesame oil. He thought that that would be preferable. Amar Hai Meshech Nahora Tfei. Rashi says, what does it mean, Meshech Nahora Tfei? Why is it preferable to use this kind of oil made of sesame? And he says, Rashi says, because eino memaher lechalos keshemen zayis, it has a lasting power that is superior to shemen zayit. Apparently, when the oil of sesame is, the combustion is a slow is a slower process. It gives you more time. It expands the mitzvah and the pirsum hanes of Ner Chanukah. Kevan sheshama lo lahad Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but once he heard the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says that Shemen Zayis min amuvchar, therefore he says, Amari declared, Hait solil nahorat fe. Rashi says that apparently Shemen Zayit is solul umur. It has the advantage of being clear. It gives a pure light. So that, in a sense, we're balancing here two advantages. The advantage of sesame oil would be that it lasts longer. The combustion is a slower process. The advantage of Shemen Zayit is what? Solul umar. There's a certain ha'ara, there's a certain clear light in the case of Shemen Zayit. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, in a balancing between the two, I would prefer Shemen Zayit, and therefore Abai changed his tradition, he changed his custom from using Shemen Sumsum, and he started using Shemen Zayit. But notice that what we see here in the Gemara clearly is that the Min HaMuvchar, the superior role of Shemen Zayit, is because of the fact that it's Tzolul Umuar. In other words, there's no mention here in the Gemara on Daf Chaf Gimel of the fact that you might prefer Shemen Zayit for a totally different reason. Namely, why? No, because of the Nes. The miracle took place in the Beit HaMikdash when the Pach HaShemen lasted for 8 days in Shemen Zayit. Therefore, if you see in the next paragraph, the words of the Chachom Einam Azkirim B'Feirush Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, although the Gemara itself doesn't mention Ner Chanukah specifically, which means we have another mitzvah of Ner that applies every week of the year, namely what?
Shabbos.
Ner Shabbos. However, the Beit Yosef, as we'll soon see, decides to apply this rule, this discussion of Rabbi Shimon Levi Abaye, not just to Ner Shabbos, but also to extend it to include Ner Chanukah. That seems to be the understanding of Maran, as we say, Rav Yosef Cairo, in the Beis Yosef, in Siman Reish Samach Dalet, that when the Gemara prefers Shemen Zayit, it is not specific to Ner Shabbos, but it also applies to Ner Chanukah. And for the same reason. That's the approach of the Beit Yosef. So for those of you who light Ner Shabbos with olive oil, that's a tremendous thing, because the Gemara certainly says, without a doubt, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that is preferable for Ner Shabbos. For those who light Chanukah candles with Shemen Zayit, how many people here in the room, just out of curiosity, use Shemen Zayit? Okay. I don't always use Shemen Zayit. We'll see. We'll see why. I'll try to justify my custom, but sometimes I use Shemen Zayit, and that would be a reflection of Beit Yosef, who applies the superior role of or kiyum of Shemen Zayit of Shabbos to Ner Chanukah. However, Tosfot there on that sugya says that the Gemara is referring not to Ner Shabbos, but rather to Ner Chanukah. And he says, with regard to Ner Shabbos, it's simple, and it's beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's called Pshita, that there's an Adifus, there's a preferable role to Shemen Zayit. The Chiddush here is that in Ner Chanukah, where we might prefer sesame oil because it lasts longer, Kamash V'lon, there's a Chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that nevertheless, Shemen Zayit outweighs Shemen Sumsum because it has the additional kiyum of mar, of the extra light. Why is it simple that in the case of Ner Shabbos, the clear light is preferable?
Because you need it to see that.
But you're using it.
Correct. How is Ner Shabbos fundamentally different than Ner Chanukah?
There's only two.
You're able to use the Ner Shabbos.
Yeah, not only you're able to use Ner Shabbos, right. That is the purpose of Ner Shabbos. Whereas Ner Chanukah, like for example, the Gemara asks the following strange question. What happens if you only have enough money on the Shabbos, let's say yesterday, you have, I guess say Friday, we turn it back the clock 2 days, you have enough money for one candle. Should you designate it as an Er Shabbos or should you designate it as an Er Chanukah? What would you say is L'chora, at the face of it, completely wrong with the Gemara's Kasha?
Why can't you do both?
Exactly. Why can't you use the same Ner for both mitzvahs? I mean, there is a principle, Enos and mitzvahs, Chavilos, Chavilos, but it's not applicable here. You only have one candle, use it for both. That's what we call kill two birds with one candle. But the answer is that you cannot possibly use the same candle for both because they're mutually exclusive. They're antithetical. In the case of Ner Shabbos, I designate the Ner for my use. And obviously, the clearer the illumination, the superior the Ner Shabbos is. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, I can't use it for myself. So it can't be one candle that serves both functions. By the way, does anybody know the Gemara's conclusion?
Shabbos.
Yeah, Ner Shabbos is on. Correct. Even though Ner Chanukah is superior to Kiddush Hayom, because of Pirsum HaNes, but Ner Shabbos loses out. I'm sorry, Ner Chanukah loses out to Ner Shabbos because Ner Shabbos is Sholem Bayis, whatever that means.
If Ner Shum Shemin is better, it's like because better. On the one hand, because it lasts for longer.
Right.
So there'll be more Sholem Bayis if for.
Well,
because
that's.
We would rather it be a bit darker and for long, but. More no. But light for longer than to be
right.
A really nice light for a shorter amount of time.
I know what you're saying, and I think there's a lot of logic to what you're saying, but the assumption of Tosis is that the extension of time is something that's very, shall I say, critical or specifically related to Ner Chanukah. Not so much in the case of Ner Shabbos. You know, today we have candles that can last for 24 hours. I don't know if they had that in the time of Chazal.
They just put a wick in a really big bucket and like light it forever.
Oh, so that's called an avuka.
No, one wick.
Oh, one wick. One wick. Oh, I see. Okay.
Also,
I hear what you're saying.
Ner Shabbat is d'oraita.
Well, that's not so true. Ner Shabbat... is may have a kiyum d'oraita, but I would say that if Ner Shabbat has a kiyum d'oraita, then Ner Chanukah also has a kiyum d'oraita.
Why?
Because every d'rabbanon, this I heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik many times, every mitzvah d'rabbanon, like Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah, Purim, Megillah, and he gave many examples, they all have what's called a kiyum d'oraita, which means that even though the obligation is d'rabbanon, but the fulfillment of the mitzvah is d'oraita.
It doesn't have any source in the d'oraita. Except
that right.
Small.
Correct. The source in the Doraita is very challenging in every case of the Rabbanon. If you give it, if I grant you Rav Soloveitchik's premise that every Rabbanon has a Kiyum Doraita, so where's the source for that Kiyum Doraita? That's going to be a challenge in every single mitzvah Rabbanon. So I would like to proceed, but let me just tell you off the cuff. I mean, if you want to think about it, the Kiyum Doraita of Ner Chanukah. Rav Soloveitchik used to maintain is Kiddush Hashem. Okay, again, that's a whole hour's discussion unto itself. But I just wanted to throw that out there. In any event, take a look at the bottom of your page 1, where he quotes the Ramah in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Gimel. The Ramah says that Shemen Zayit Min HaMuvchar, he writes that you should preferably use olive oil, and the reason for that seems to be, and there are many, many poskim who write this, he quotes the Levush, the Ben Ishchai, and so forth and so on, the Chayodam. It's all because it gives a very steady and pure light. And that you'll see also in the Vilna Gaon, in the Gra, you'll see in the Pri Chadash, and so forth and so on. However, as we move on to page 2, even though amongst all the sources that we saw, many of them were quoted by the Ramah, there is another source which will lead us into a whole different direction. Instead of the clarity of the light, the Kolbo, who is again a Rishon, a late Rishon, but a Rishon, he says that there's another reason.
Zechelenes?
Correct.
I was waiting for that to come up.
Okay, good. So that's on the, if you want to underline it, you can borrow my pen if you need one. Because here they don't use pens, everything's on computer. Right? So it says over there on the second page on top, the Kolbo writes, Yesh Madlikim B'Nei Rosh Shava, There are those who have the custom of using wax candles. Amnon, however, he writes, HaMitzvah HaMuvcheret, if you ask me what should be your first preference, he says it should be Shemen Zayit. Lefisha Bo HaYohannes, the miracle took place in the Beis HaMikdash with Shemen Zayit. So according to the Kolbo, we can say the following. Even if the light of wax candles would be superior, excuse me, to the light of olive oil, so let's say you have a situation in which, you know, you light with olive oil. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but it kind of like, it's a low flame. Sometimes it flickers a little. Mm-hmm. And therefore you'd get a superior light if you used wax candles. Especially, for example, if you use Shabbos candles, you get a superior light. According to the Kolbo, there would still be a preference for olive oil. And what would be that? Zecher l'nes. Now, if I could take the liberty here, I would like to add some embellishment of my own here to this Kolbo. To what extent does Ner Chanukah, is Ner Chanukah enhanced by its connection to the original Ner that was lit in the Beit HaMikdash?
Yes, because it's a person's.
So correct. But I want to add something else. Besides the Ness itself, which of course the Kolbo is focusing on, there's another dimension. And this I derive from the Baal HaMa'ar. No pun on words here about Ma'ar that he gives light. But his name is Rav Zrachya Levi. And in his first comment on the Rif in Perek Bamei Madlikin, he says that the Ner Chanukah was given the status of the Ner Shebimigdash, and I'll tell you exactly how it chaps an afkemina, because it's Zecher LeMigdash. Now we know that there are a number of mitzvot that are Zecher LeMigdash. For example, what examples can you think of?
Lulav
Kol Shiva, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, right? Number two.
Machatzit HaShekel, no?
Maybe Machatzit HaShekel, could be.
But that's it, the
The Korech, according to Hillel, is Zecher LeMikdash, Al Matzimorom Yochlu. We have Sfirat HaOmer. You should know, according to most Rishonim, with the exception of the Rambam, is simply Zecher LeMikdash. According to Baal HaMa'or, we have to add another mitzvah to the list of Zecher LeMikdash, in which we try to duplicate what went on in the Mikdash, again, to some extent. Obviously, we're not asking for the Kohanim, we're not going to the Heichal in the base of Mikdash, but we have the Ner Chanukah as Zecher LeMikdash. And then Afkamina says the Baal HaMa'or, is that, let's say I want to eat my Sudat Shabbat, which is a mitzvah, to the light of the Ner Chanukah. Says the Baal HaMa'or, if you look at Ner Chanukah from the perspective of a mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes, then to use that Ner Chanukah for the sake of another mitzvah is perfectly acceptable. But since they gave the Ner a status of Ner Shebimigdash, because of Zecher LeMikdash, therefore just like in the Beis HaMikdash, you would not be allowed to have any benefit whatsoever from the light of the menorah and the heichal, even for the sake of another mitzvah, because it has the status of Hegdesh. Hegdesh is an absolute all-inclusive Yisra Anah, can't benefit. So too, Haneros Halalu Kodeshem. You know, it makes sense according to the Baal HaMa'or. It has the status, to some extent, of the Ner Shebimigdash. And in that context, I think this Kolbo takes on a whole new meaning. That the Ner not only has the dinim of Ner Shebimigdash, insofar as it's Asur Lahanos Mimenu Kol Ikar No Hano, even L'Shem Mitzvah is prohibited, but in addition, the substance that I use to create this Ner should be Shemen Zayis, because that's what they used in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to soon see that this is all not so simple, and there are those who might object to this. In any event, in the third paragraph, you'll see that the Ramah himself, where the Shulchan Aruch paskins that all different oils are acceptable for Ner Chanukah, and that's how the Rambam has it in Perek Dalet Milchas Chanukah, Kol Hashmanim, Kol Haptilot, all the oils, all the wicks are acceptable, they qualify for Ner Chanukah, and that's how it's codified in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah adds, "Umiu shemen zayit mitzvah min amuvchar." I really think that you should be recommended to use shemen zayit. That's the pinnacle of the mitzvah. However, im ein shemen zayit matzui, if you have no access to olive oil for some reason, is mitzvah bishmonim, then you should use other oils and try to find a shemen like canola oil or whatever you might find. Do some experiments before Hanukkah. She'oron zach v'noki, to get a pure, clean, refined flame that comes up. He says, though, in our areas, you know, in Poland, you know, the Ramo was from a city called Krakow. He says, "Nagim b'ninot elu l'hadlik b'neirot shel shava." Why do they prefer neirot shel shava? Ki oron tzolul kimo shemen, because it has a very clear light like that of olive oil. So I'm not sure how to read this Ramo. It's a little bit ambiguous in my mind. Is he telling me that the minog in Poland reflects the superior quality of wax candles over oil candles, and that's it? Or is he saying that in our areas, since we don't have access to Shemen Zayit, and now we're going down from one level of Zeichel and Nes, the way the Kolbo has it, to the level of Shmanim, and now all other Shmanim are superior before because of Oron Zach. So he says, well, wait a minute. Our wax candles will produce a superior light. So I'm not sure. It's unclear to me. You know, is he saying absolutely that our minig reflects, this should be our first choice, we should use wax candles? Or is he saying, no, that we only use wax candles because we're not using olive oil? In any event, one thing is clear. Let's just summarize. There are two dimensions and two answers to the question why Shemen Zayit would be preferable. Number one, it's the Tzlilut Ha'or, the clarity of its flame. And number two, it would be Zecher L'Nes. It would remind us more of the miracle that took place in the Beit HaMikdash where they used Shemen Zayit in the menorah. Now, I want you to focus your attention on a paragraph, if you can, that starts with the words Yesh L'Tzayin, which is the final paragraph in this section that we've been studying. He says, "Ikara din shekol hashmonim ksherim l'ner chanuk l'inyin chanukah mekayimin es hamitzvah gam im haner nichbel liachar hadlaka." He says, why does the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah reflect the fact that any type of oil whatsoever is acceptable for ner chanukah? There are certain oils which, according to the Gemara, are unacceptable for Ner Shabbos because the wicks and the oils will get extinguished in a very short amount of time.
Or for a bad smell.
But one category of Shmonim and Psilos is because they don't stay for a long time. And yet those same oils apparently are acceptable for Ner Chanukah. But why? If it's going to go out, I forfeit the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, what's that called in the Gemara's language?
Kaftein
Zakla. We paskin that if it goes out, technically speaking, you don't have to rekindle the light. So that's what this paragraph adds.
Kaftein
Zakla. He doesn't have to rekindle it. Even the lowest quality oils are acceptable for Ner Chanukah. And why is that? Because kavta ain't zakukah.
As long as there's a chance that it would actually last.
Correct. V'tnai she'esh efshagut sha'or yimashech l'meshech kechatzi sha'a. So even though it's not really a great oil, but nevertheless it's acceptable. So we now have a couple of different madregas here. You know, we've got different oils. You've got sesame oil, which might have which although it's not or yafeh, it's not neir as good as some of the other oils, but nevertheless it has a long-lasting power. Then superior to that is olive oil, because olive oil has both dimensions of a clear flame and at the same time a memory of the Nes. Then we have other oils which are inferior in quality. And then finally, we have Ner Shava. It's not 100% clear to me, but I think Ner Shava, because it's Oron Yofeh, would be superior to all other oils with the exception of Shemen Zayit. So in other words, if you were asking me to put a Seder Adifut, you know, a priority list, on my list I would put Shemin Zayin on top, then I would put Neros Shel Shava, then I would put perhaps sesame oil, and then on the bottom I would say these inferior oils, which will last for only a short, limited period of time. Okay. The Me'iri is where we're up to, right in the middle of page 2. The Me'iri says in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Chaf Aleph that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which we learned before, includes two different points. The first point is that in general, we would prefer using the shemen of Shava, those oil that became became coagulated, that's wax. Yesh la adif hadlaka b'shemen al pnei shava, and we would prefer that you use oil to wax, and the reason for that is, says the Me'iri, the Nes Chanukah took place with shemen. And then he says there's a second point, which is also inherent in the words of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Shemitoch kol hashmanim yesh la'adif shemen zayit mipnei sha'oro tzalul. So there are a few points that we want to make on this Me'iri. Point number one is the Me'iri apparently understands the statement of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi as referring to Ner Chanukah, not Ner Shabbos. Point number two, we understand from Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi that we have to try at least l'chatchila in Ner Chanukah to fulfill the Zeichel Ines, which is so unique to Ner Chanukah, and we do so by lighting Shemen Zayit. Again, does it have to be Shemen Zayit? He doesn't say that it has to be Shemen Zayit. He says any kind of Shemen will do, because the Ness of Chanukah took place in Shemen. The fact that it was Shemen Zayit is irrelevant. The special status of Shemen Zayit, says the Me'iri, is only because Oro Tzolul. So in other words, until now we've been assuming in the context of the Kolba, which is on the top of your page 2, the second line, that Shemen Zayit is preferably because of the Zeichel Ines. According to Me'iri, it's not so. According to Me'iri, any Shemen would do in order to gain that extra element of what? Of Zeichel Ines. And why is Shemen Zayit preferable? Only because it's Oro Tzolul. Is there anything to be gained by this Me'iri? So take a look at the second paragraph on this section. He says, Lefi Perusho, according to the Me'iri, it comes out that you can fulfill Zeichel Ines, which is unique to Chanukah, with any Shemen. It doesn't matter which particular oil, because the Ness happened in Shemen, and that's, we just need a Zecher to remember the Shemen, that's all. And the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Dalet, in the same Tofresh Ayin Gimel, he mentions the mitzvah, Lahadif Shemen al Pnei Shava. He doesn't specify that you use Shemen Zayit. He gives a high grade, and he prefers that we use Shemen in comparison to wax candles, but not Shemen Zayit. Shemen Zayit is not on his radar screen. Meaning he's operating with the Me'iri. That as far as Zeichel Ines is concerned, that dimension that makes Chanukah very unique, it's enough to take any oil. If you want to talk about which oil gives a better light, then, you know, that's something that we could talk about. You know, start analyzing of the different types of oils. Is Shemen Zayit the best light or not? That's not something that the Mishnah Berurah speaks about. However, if you take a look at the next paragraph, some of the poskim say that we have to go a step further. And although the Gemara allows all lahachshir et kol hashmanim ladloka, any kind of shemen is acceptable for adloka, but nevertheless, that's as far as oil is concerned. V'lo l'shava shepsula ladloka. Now, how do you understand this statement over here? If I read this correctly, he's suggesting in the name of some poskim that shemen is good, is acceptable, it qualifies. But he says the following, l'hachshir kol shmonim ladloka nemar rak b'yachas l'shmonim, v'lo l'shava shepsula lahadlaka.
You can't use that.
What do you say? Is he saying that you can't use wax at all?
Yeah, because the
that's pretty wild.
Shemen and it's not shemen.
It's so fascinating because if you think of the development of it, we added the Zechlanes almost as a second thought. Really, if shemen has a special status, it's because the nature of the R. What he's doing here in these poskim, he quotes the name of Sharat Siyun, is he's telling us that Zeichel Ines is so important, it plays such an important role, that it completely disqualifies Shava. That's going very far. Especially in the light of the Ramo, who says that the minig in Poland was to light with wax candles. In any event, if we have two more minutes, I mean, I'm very careful about the clock, you'll let me know when the bell rings, but I wanted to quote it, the Maharal Miprag. The Maharal Miprag, as you know, wrote a work just on the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's called Ner Mitzvah. And he says that because the Nes took place in Shemen with oil, and also because Ner Shava is not called a Ner, it doesn't have the status of a Ner, but rather a Ner Shava is considered something else. It's called an Avuka. Is therefore he says that Ner Shava is completely excluded for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Again, that really throws a monkey wrench on a lot of things that we've been thinking. In the next paragraph, he points out that you shouldn't be so concerned about the Maharal Miprag because he's heavily outnumbered by all the other poskim who say that you're allowed to use wax candles, and the Ramo himself says that that was the minog. He testifies to the fact that that was the minog in Poland. You'll see this also in the Elio Rabba, one of the great Ashkenazic poskim, that his minog was to use Ner Shava. And the Aruch HaShulchan goes a step further. He says, Ra'yisi mishakosav de Ner Shava doma la'avuka, and therefore it's completely disqualified for Ner Chanukah, and therefore you can't make a bracha on it. He says, "Eini yodea eza avuka yesh bazeh." Avuka usually means what?
What is an avuka?
Avuka is a torch when you have many different wicks that come together to form one flame. But here, in the case of a ner shava, what does it have to do with an avuka? To such an extent that you want to exclude it from Ner Chanukah? He doesn't quote the Maharal by name, but I think he's referring to the Maharal. He says, "Eini yodea eza avuka yesh bazeh." In lo, kishatim kluim biyachad. If you take two shtayim, you take two neros of shava, and you weave them together, you can create an avuka like our Havdalah candle, which is an avuka. But in any event, the bottom line is, and this is how it's codified in all the poskim, both Sephardic poskim and Ashkenazic poskim, the Chidah says it, the Mishnah Berurah says it, that you can be yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, no sweat, with wax candles. It's not our first preference. But if you use wax candles, then try to get the best wax candles that you possibly can. And here I just want to end with one little postscript, one little P.S. What would be, I mean, if you want to justify my minig, I try to light with Shabbos candles on Leil Shabbos, even though I'm not talking about the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, but Ner Chanukah. What would be perhaps the additional push in favor of wax candles, dafka on Friday night? For the mitzvah of Chanukah, I'm talking
about. The time.
Exactly. Because we light Shabbos candles, we light Ner Chanukah, we have no choice, very early. And that, in that sense, we're relying on the halacha of what? Plag ha-mincha. But I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, that it's good enough to do the maisa hadlaka with plag ha-mincha. And I think we touched on this last week. But the light of the candle has to last until after Tzeis HaKochavim, which could be as long as an hour and a half. I don't know exactly, but it's a longer period of time. And as much as I fill up this little glass with oil, I don't know if it's going to last that time. You have Shabbos candles today that could last for, I think, what did it say on it? I'm trying to remember how much time it lasts, maybe. Anyway, it was certainly more than an hour and a half. I don't remember. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Those long Shabbos candles? They write on the box. How much?
4 hours. Sometimes.
Maybe. I don't know. 4 hours, but maybe, yeah. So that's why I think it has both advantages of, number one, art solul, it's a very clear light. And number two, it has the advantage of guaranteeing that this light will be on, will be lit on Shabbos. If your minhag is to light with Shemen Zayin on Friday night, then by all means, go ahead and continue that minhag, but just calm me down and guarantee me that there's enough oil there to last for a long time.
I checked both on the preceding nights, and it lasted 2 hours usually, the oil.
Yeah, I got 4 hours.
Great. You get 4 hours from your oil?
4 hours from the oil,
yeah. Wow. You have a big glass? Or?
I use three quarters. I put 3 quarters. I do like first like third or 3 quarters of water and then oil, and then that's what lasts 2 hours.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because there's water on the bottom, that's why it lasts longer?
That's why it doesn't last as long. I'm saying it would last even longer.
Yeah, you could get a lot more out of it.
And that's it's not the widest of all cups. I have like thinner cups too. Like it's,
Right.
Still, lengthwise, it's fine.
Okay, good.
It matters how much you stick the wick.
So then I would suggest.
I was at the job, I didn't bring it. I just lived with it. They gave me oil candles there. And
right. Well, the truth is that if you're traveling for Hanukkah, I don't even know if you have to light it all. It says that the oreach, the achsanya, should be mishtatev and pruta.
I get mishtatev and pruta to buy the same candle there.
But I would say like this, if you're mishtatev pruta, Max, I'm not sure that you should have made a bracha on your own lighting. That's really complicated.
I was to buy, so it would be mine.
No, but I'm just asking you the following question. If you're mishtati v'pruta, that means you own that ner, you have a partnership in that ner, and if the Baal Bais is lighting that ner, you are yotze with his adlok, so making your own bracha is a little bit tricky in that case. Ella, what? You can, as an achsanoi, you can take the option, I won't be yotze with that adlok of the Baal Bais, I'll have my personal lighting, which for Ashkenazim is okay. I don't know if it's good for Sfaradim, because Brother Beit Yosef paskins that there's one chiv on the whole bias, but for us that mahadra means each person takes it, that you can do that. But if you already mishtati with pruta, that means you're megala das that you want to be able to with his adlok. I don't know if you should make your own adlok, or that has to be taken under advisement. But be that as it may, the point is if your minig is to light with ner, with shemen zayit, I would encourage you to continue that minig based on everything we saw today. There are two advantages to Shemen Zayit. We saw number one is Zeichel Nes, although again, the Meiri says Zeichel Nes with any oil, it doesn't have to be Shemen Zayit, but if you're using oil, you definitely obtain that extra kiyum, that hider of Zeichel Nes. And perhaps if we add the concept of the Baal Amar, of the candle replacing through Zeichel and Migdash, the Nash of Migdash, and Shemin certainly has an advantage. At the same time, Shemin has an advantage of being Orot Solul. Here I get a little bit confused because I think Shemin, I think Ner Shava might, again, I don't know, it might be just as good, but maybe, I don't know, what would you say? Which is better? The light of Shemin Zayit or the light of Ner Shava? I don't know, which is better?
I don't think we're sensitive to it at all. I mean, when was the last time you were in a room that was only lit by candles?
Well,
Friday night.
Yeah, when you're,
we had Afsakat Chashma. It was an unbelievable experience. What happened is my wife served the main course, and right after everyone finished the main course, she was about to serve dessert, the lights went out. We had Afsakat Chashma. And it was beautiful because we had a bunch of chayalim at our table, and they made it into a kumzitz, and they started singing Lubavitch and Nagunim for like an hour in the pitch black. It was like, for me, it was like going back to my childhood. I hadn't heard those Lubavitch and Nagunim since I was at it for bringing it to Rebbe, you know? But we really had a nice experience. So I'm just saying, if you would do an experiment, and you know, just for a minute, and compare the two, I'm not sure, you know, it would be a toss up. I think we've developed Shemin Zayit that it's very, very sophisticated. Okay.
That all our oils,
one of the reasons it says Salalah there.
Yeah, why does it say
here? Because these lights that we have that are plugged in without a battery.
Wait, give me one second, Aaron. I just want to. I want to get the. It's on page 4. And what does it say here?
Ha'im hadlakach
chanukiyat chashmal miuchelet mufelot al yidei solelet nechshevet l'kiyum ha'mitzvah. So why is he mentioning mufelot al yidei solelet?
Because batteries.
Yeah.
You know, there's like AC current and DC current. I don't know.
Okay.
So batteries are DC. So it's a constant flow of electricity. Whereas
wait a minute. Batteries are DC.
Batteries are DC, and the house is AC.
Okay.
And in AC, it's actually alternating really quickly on and off.
No, not on and off. Which direction?
Well, but in essence, it's basically on and off. So these lights are really turning on and off so quickly that we don't notice them.
That's AC.
AC, yeah. AC is a very fast transition from on to off. So like we don't notice the on and off because our eyes don't see it, but it's not a steady flow, and that could be why.
So wait a minute, which one is Solel? Solel is AC?
DC.
DC. And
so
what's DC?
A constant flow of electricity.
Constant.
That could be. I don't know.
Oh,
be.
I see.
It could be. Just throwing
so
it
that's
there.
Why he thought that Solel it would be superior.
Yeah.
Because the constant flow of electricity.
That's what I would guess.
So let's just see his answer. He says no. He says, Hadlakat b'chanukiyat chashmal einan nechshevet hadlakat neirot chanukah. And he quotes a bunch of poskim here, the Shutar Tzvi and Rav Vadi Yosef in Yabia Omer. He says, Ein l'shtameish b'ner chashmali l'neirot chanukah, which excludes like 90% of New York Jews, by the way. But okay. Hasibah l'kachi, sheyesh l'adlik neirot chanukah b'ner uptila. You need a candle and you need a wick. Zechelo rot ha-menorah. It has to be similar to the light that was generated by the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, which was generated by Ner Uptila. He says, Ekronot shel te'ura chashmalit heim kimuvan shonim v'tachlit l'chein heim b'zeh kiyum shel hadlakat Ner Chanukah. He says, Sibano sefer l'kachi kamur shel inorah chashmalit yesh din shel avuka. Why is that? There is more than one wire that's
sometimes
burning or something? Sheino eina dome l'ner gagil. And this you'll find in Yabia Omer. Then he quotes another, this is Reb Tzvi Hoffman, Malamed Lahoil, he says, and also Mikroi Kodesh, he gives that answer as well. That I don't understand. Is it somehow like an indirect cause?
You're not lighting it. You're not like a...
It's not like in the case where I put the flame against the thing. Wow. So he's basically got three different objections to electric lights.
Fast question.
Yeah.
Is there any issue with wishing I uses a happy holiday or season's greetings?
The Ravah calls it, he talks about sending Christmas cards or New Year's cards to business associates. He calls it, it's a very interesting phrase, he calls it Ovdei Avodah Zarah B'Tahara. In other words, it's really not acceptable for we live amongst the goyim,
right.
So we do it with purity, meaning we have no choice. That's what he's saying. I would say the following: you know, if you can phrase it in a way that sounds more nationalistic, you know what I mean,
like
than
happy
religious.
Holidays. Happy holidays.
Yeah, or you know, I'm wishing you well at this season of the year. You know, something along that line, because, like, for example, you walk down the streets of almost anywhere in Chutz La'aretz and you see the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
And they, I know in the area where my son lives, you ever heard of Holliswood?
Is it Queens?
In Queens, yes. Yeah. Do you know Yakir Wachstock was in Yeshiva in your time? Yakir is my son's neighbor there in Holliswood, Queens. Okay. The two of them are in Hatzolah there. Oh, they do some great work in that neighborhood. Because there are no other Hatzolah people in that neighborhood. You, 5 minutes later by car, you get to Hillcrest or Kew Gardens, and tons of Hatzolah. Anyway, so Yakir, so I'm walking down the street in Holliswood, and I can't even begin to describe, maybe in Australia it's the same thing, you can see what they do with the lights. I mean, they got every Yashka Pundrik you can think of with the it's unbelievable. You know, people have money, this is what they spend their money on. Now, I don't know if I get any particular hanah from it, but you know, it's natural that you could get benefits from it. So some of the poskim want to justify it by saying it's like a national expression. You know, you're an Italian and you want to wave the flag of the United States. This is kind of like a flag waving. It's not really religious in nature. Mm-hmm. I think it's a stretch because my Rebbe was so opposed to Christianity. He felt it was Mamash Avodah Zarah. So you got to be very careful when you're coming to it. But the Ramah's phrase is very interesting. Your day, he says, Ovdei Avodah Zarah B'Tahara. No, he's willing to let it go by. Mm-hmm. But
Okay, so something which is a general.
Yeah, see if you can, I don't know, you know, rephrase it.
Happy holidays.
Right.
Good
trip. All right, call it to Vashon. Thanks so much. Just to summarize, we said that there are two advantages of olive oil. One is the clarity of its light, but on that level, we said wax candles might be just as good. And secondly, the additional advantage of that olive oil was the shemen shebeheichal, and therefore, since the miracle took place in that shemen, there's an advantage and enhancement of zecher, zecher lenes, zecher lemigdash, etc., etc., as we discussed at great length. And if you take a look in the Darchei Moshe, the Ramah, he emphasizes these two dimensions and advantages of shemen zayis. Technically, though, as we said, all oils are kosher for Ner Chanukah, and in fact, wax candles are also kosher for Ner Chanukah. The mitzvah of Chanukah applies even if the candles will go out, even if they are low-quality oils and wicks, because kavsa ein zakakla. So as far as lighting wax candles is concerned, with the exception of the Maral Miprag, the poskim accept wax candles. The opinion of the Maral Miprag is a das yochid, and we don't have to be concerned with him, and we saw that the minhagim in Poland were to use wax candles. The most preferred method, as we saw, l'chatchila, the mitzvah of muvchar, would be to light with shemen zayis. Those who light with wax candles should try to get impressive wax candles, you know, wax candles, you know, respectable wax candles, maybe longer wax candles. And again, l'chatchila, we would like to use shemen zayit. The Chayyadim goes as far as to say that wax candles can only be used b'di'evid, b'makom, in a place where there's no oil. The Aruch Shulchan, as we quoted before, says that somebody who's away from home and it's difficult for him to light with olive oil, he should use wax candles. He's not at home, let him use wax candles if that's easier. You know, he transports it from one place to the other. There's another discussion in the poskim about the preference for olive oil for a child who's under bar mitzvah age. He's a katan shehigia l'chinuch. And it seems from the shut, the various tshuvas, whether it's tshuvas van Hugges, was the shevet HaKahasi, and many other tshuvas, that you can use wax candles for children, even l'chatchila. Now, what we didn't get to yet, which I wanted to discuss with you, is a very interesting chiddush in a more contemporary tshuva, and this you'll see on page 2, after quoting the Aruch HaShulchan, and this is going on to page 3, there's a kovetz, an anthology of articles, which is called Mevakshei Torah on Chanukah, and they quote Harav El Yoshev, Rav Yosef Shalom El Yoshev, Zichrono Levracha, Yesh la adif shemen zayit haraui lema'achal. It's got to be olive oil that's edible, al pnei shemen zayit lema'or. There's certain types of olive oil that are used simply for lighting, and they're not used in the context of food, they're not edible. He says it's preferable to use the edible one. And why is that? Zot kedeli damot, in order to be similar, to duplicate the shemen zayit of the menorah in the Migdash. And this psak is also quoted by Rav Moshe Sternbach Shlita, that one should prefer shemen zayit that's zach bioser. It should be as pure as possible. What that means is the preference here is for what we call virgin olive oil, because that resembles the shemen in the Beis HaMikdash, in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And once again, we're seeing that the Zeichel HaMikdash element here is very prominent in these poskim. We've already quoted earlier many, many authorities that say that you can fulfill this Zecher LeMigdash with any shemen whatsoever. That was certainly the opinion of Meiri. And that would give oil preference to shemen, to shava, to a wax candle. Well, if he's there, Adofa Shemen Zayis al Pnei Shmonim Achirim, Einu Mipnei Hadimyo Lenes. And if you're choosing between one oil or the other, and you want to choose Shemen Zayis, the reason why you'll choose Shemen Zayis, why does Shemen Zayis become more preferable, superior to other oils, is because of Tzlilus Ha'or Bilvat, only because of the clarity and the purity of its light. As far as Zeichel and Ness is concerned, there's no difference between one Shemin, even Shemin Zayin, and any other Shemin. And according to that, there's no reason to prefer Shemin Aroy L'machal, Shemin that's edible. There's no superior nature or recommended element in that. And even according to those poskim who preferred Shemin Zayis because it's more similar to the Shemin of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, that was the Chayodim that we mentioned earlier. Nevertheless, Lo Matsanu Sheyazkiru HaPoskim HaDofa Shel Kirvo L'Shemin Zayis Shel Mikdash, we never found any poskim that preferred that we use oil that is more similar, I mean, olive oil, a particular type of form or type of olive oil that would be more similar to the olive oil that was used in the Mikdash. You know, in the Mikdash, what they did was, when they squeezed the olives, they took the first drop, the first tipa, Rishon HaShal Zayis, and that was called Shemin Kosis LaMa'or, that was used for the Beis HaMikdash. We never found that we need that kind of a Shemin for the Beis HaMikdash. So this new din of Zeichel LeMikdash, or Zeichel LeNes, because it's Shemin Zayis Zach B'Yoser, it's virgin oil, that we don't find any basis in the poskim for. And for that matter, if this psak is correct, the name of Rav Yoshev, to say that you need edible oil, where do we find such? I mean, how far do you go with the Zeicher LeNes Shemin Mikdash? It seems from the poskim that any Shemin Zayis is fine. In fact, according to many, any Shemin would be fine to achieve that goal of Zecher LeMikdash. Now let's add one last comment here, that with regard to Shemin Zayis LeMa'ar, is B'medina Mesuyemet LeMachal Gam Ki Shemin Zayis Zach B'Yosei Nedomu LeShemin Shel Mikdash. He says the following, that if you look at oil today, olive oil, that you can buy on the market, you won't find any kind of olive oil on the market which is fit for the use in the Beis HaMikdash. Because if you open up to the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurim Mizbeach Per Zayin Halacha Yud, the Rambam is clear that all types of marketed olive oil today would be pasul by virtue of the fact that they're marketed. So there's no way that you can duplicate the oil of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, this whole discussion about Royal Achilo or Shemin, you know, Shemin Zayis Zach is a little bit off base. And that's why the poskim, like Rav Shmuel Vosner and Rav Moshe Zelig Weiss today, they write that Ein Tzorch Lahadir Behidur Zeh, there's no need to go beyond the common custom of using regular olive oil, even the kind that's sold for lighting purposes, not for eating purposes. All you need is regular olive oil. That's the minhag, and that's the halacha. Let's throw in one or two other issues here. Number one, the question of Shemen Shel Shmita. I don't know if it's relevant this year, but it'll certainly be relevant next year, maybe for years to come. Olive oil that has the status of Shmita means the olives were grown during the Shemitah year and they have Kedushas Shvius. Would you be allowed to use those oils or that form of olive oil for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? And the issue here revolves around the halacha of Li'ochla V'lola Hefse, meaning Kedushas Shvius requires that we use it for Achila. Fruits of Shvius that are sanctified with Shvius, produce of Shvius, should be designated for eating and not for other hanos. Here, what you're doing is you're burning the oil, and let's say the oil is edible, you can use it for eating, and therefore the halach of li'ochel v'lo lehefseh kicks in. And not only that, the ner Chanukah is osur b'anoy, you can't benefit it from the or whatsoever. So you can't say that that's the shivush of Shemin Shel Shmita. Shemin Shel Shmita means certainly you should benefit from it. Once you designate it for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, not only are you undermining the Achila element, you're also undermining Hanah in general, because there's no you know, there's, because there's no anoah for Ner Chanukah, because you're taking Shemen Shel Shvita, which is nitan lemitzvasa, to be nenemen, and then you're using it in such a way by designating for Ner Chanukah that you can't possibly have any anoah from it. And this is all brought down in the Shut Shevet Levi Ravozna. However, there are other tshuvas about it, and other poskim, that seem to be more lenient, and they would permit the lighting of Chanukah candles even with Shemen Shel Shmita, with Kedusha Shmita. And the reason for that is because they are of the opinion that Hadlokas Ner Chanukah Einan Echsheves Sreifa. You're not really destroying, you know, it's not a hefsed of the Shemen Zayis. He has a clear Hanoah, although not a physical personal Hanoah, but he uses them for Pirsim Hanes, for the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. Is that itself makes it a Hanoah? So to say that it's in violation of hefsed, that's unacceptable, according to this school of thought, which you'll see in the Minchas Shlomo. And Kefisha Mutul Ishtamish V'Peiro Shel Shmita L'Tzorach Pirsum Iskei Prati. We have Halach in Shulchan Aruch as far as Kedushas Shvias in Peiros, that let's say you have a fruit store, and in order to attract and publicize the, you know, attract buyers and clients, and in order to publicize your, you know, your geschäft, your little store, you want to take Peiros Shel Shmita and display them, you're allowed to do so. That itself is a shimush with Peiros Shel Shmita. We could say the same thing here, says the Minchas Shlomo, you're displaying the Nes, the miracle of Chanukah, and for the purpose of Pirsum HaNes, that itself is a shtamshus. Again, I still don't know the answer to the question of li'ochla, that the mitzvah is to eat it, and certainly you're not going to be eating this, you know, using this oil in the context of eating. Now, I just want to mention that as far as Shemen is concerned, you know, since we're talking about oil, we might mention the minog of eating sufganiyot on Chanukah. And the reason we have that minog is because these donuts are made in oil. And that's another example of Zeichel l'Nes Chanukah, because it's also reminiscent of the oil. Not only is the Shemen Zayis in the Ner Chanukah reminiscent of the oil, but the Shemen that you use in making Sufganiyot is also reminiscent of Ner Chanukah. Now I want to mention to you some of the questions that came up, which you'll see here on page 4, with regard to Ner Chanukah. The first question is, a person is in jail and his wife is lighting for him in his bayis, does he have to light in the jail? And l'chora, you would not say that he has a din of achsenoi, because an achsenoi is only a guest in an inn on a very temporary basis, he's moving on. But here in the case of the jailbird, this is Makoma Kavua, this is where he is, this is his place. And therefore, he possibly is required, obligated to light a Ner Chanukah in his jail cell. Again, assuming he could do so. In the tshuva, Nireh Poshet Shuyochel Lismoch Ahadlokah Bebeiso, there's no need to impose on him an additional obligation in his cell. Shekein heyosukan lo mafkir mimenu es beiso ikri. The fact that he's in jail, that's only where he is now, but it doesn't undermine or detach him from his main household, his main domicile. And just like in the case of Yeshiva Bachim, according to many poskim, they can rely on that luck of a besom, and that's Rav Avadya Yosef's decision. That's how he hands down the halachic ruling. So that would indicate that even though for the time being you're living elsewhere, but nevertheless you still maintain your connection to the bayis ha'ikri, your main house, and the same thing should apply to someone in jail. And although there are poskim who would encourage yeshiva bachim to light where they are in the yeshiva, the einam somchim al shulchan aviem, if especially in the case of a yeshiva bach whose meals and, you know, and sleeping arrangements and sleeping facilities are provided by the yeshiva, so he's not somach al shulchan aviv, But here, and those poskim would maintain that Yeshiva Bachur should light in his dormitory because he may not be Somech al Shulchan Aviyah. Maybe his father is hoping that he'll get married and establish his own house. But in the case of someone in jail, Rachman al Utslan, his bayis ha'ikri, that's where they're waiting for him in his house, or waiting for him to come home. Not necessarily to flee in the middle of his jail sentence, but he says, V'ein lomar shekanu manua miloshuv habaisa. You might say that how can you consider his bayis ha'ikri, his house, when he has no way of getting to his house, no access to it, he's completely incarcerated. So if you take a look in the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Yud Aleph, and I believe that the sugya there is the sugya of Al Mezuzos Beisecho Visharecha, is Machma Shebeis Asur Mimokum Sha'odam Darbo Balkorcho Zusi Beyosel Achshivzos Kediras Arroy Velo Kediras Keva. You might say, well, wait a minute. Since he can't get access to his house, he's incarcerated, he has to be here in jail. That makes it his bias. He's disconnected from his original household bias. But the answer is no. On the contrary, the fact that he's here against his will, he's compelled, he's incarcerated, that itself makes it into a diras aroi rather than a diras keva. Now, here's another interesting question. Ha'im mutar lahadlik neros pa'amayim bi'osa chanukiah. In other words, let's say with Tzeis HaKochavim we light candles. The father is out at work. He comes home much later. He hasn't lit yet. Does he have to pick up a different chanukiah, or can he light in the same chanukiah? And the answer is pashut. He's allowed to light in the same chanukiah. The fact that there are two different people, bazech or zeh, that are fulfilling their obligation of Ner Chanukah, the same exact Chanukiah, no problem. That shouldn't be a problem whatsoever. He writes at Ulam Me'achar Shel Gabi Abrocha Shel Abba Yekzatz Baya. He says there is a little bit of a problem with the father making a bracha since they already lit in his household on his behalf. He says that according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfaradim Kol Bayis Madlik Chanukiah Chat. So certainly the Baal Bais in this case was Yotze with the one Chanukiah that was lit in the Bais. And even according to the Ramah, that everyone through Hidur should light his own candle, but nevertheless, Mikra Adin, the Baal Bais is the Madlik. So according to the Ramah, there should be no problem whatsoever. The father wants to come home later on and he lights his own Chanukiah. He's not miskaving to be Yotze with Adloka that was done in his bias. He wants to come home late at night, albeit, but time enough to light his own personal Chanukiah and fulfill the mitzvah begufo. So according to the Ramah, the Mahadrin is that each person light his own Chanukiah. The father could come home later and light his own Chanukiah. He's not Yotze with the first Chanukiah. He hasn't fulfilled his obligation. But that's good according to the Ramah and the Ashkenazim. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's a little bit more complicated, because the Shulchan Aruch only envisions one hadlaka of one individual on behalf of everyone in the bayis, even at the level of Mahadrin. The Mahadrin means that the Baal HaBayis will be madlik X number of candles that reflect the X number of people, members of the household. But it's only one hadlaka, and if that hadlaka was done when the father comes home late at night, how can he be madlik with a bracha? He already fulfilled his mitzvah, and the bayis fulfilled its mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch puts the emphasis on the bayis. And the only answer to this problem would be if he has kavanah shelo latzeis. So for the Ashkenazim, you might say he doesn't have to have kavanah shelo latzeis. His stama kavanah, the assumption is that for the sake of Mahadrin, he's going to light his own Chanukiah. But in the case of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Rav HaMechaber representing the Sephardic custom, that the chiyuv is one adlaka per bias, how can the father have a second adlaka? And you're going to have to say that he has kavana shelo latzeis. You know, have to really be makpid about kavana shelo latzeis. Here's another interesting shaila that came up. Somebody already lit candles in his own house with all the brachas, and now he was invited to light the candles in his Shver and Shviga's house, his father-in-law, his mother-in-law's house, or in his friend's house. And the question is, since he was already Yotze, fulfilled his personal obligation, can he recite the same brachas the second time as a shliach to be motzi people in another house. What's the din in this case? And in a flip case, let's say flip it around, let's say he started, if we reverse the sequence, he started and first lit Eitzel Chamav, and now, or his Beis Chavero, and he recited all the brachas, now he comes home, does he repeat the same identical brachas a second time? From the perspective of Birchas HaMitzvos, we have a principle of Yotza Motzi. And if we apply that here to Ner Chanukah, and take the brach of Lahadlik Ner Shulchan as a classical Birchas HaMitzvah, so he can recite that brach on behalf of someone else. But the truth is that maybe the Nusach HaBracha should change from Lehadlik to Adladlaka, because the Rambam in Hilchas Brachas at the end codifies the Halacha of a Shliach that he makes the brach with an Al as opposed to the brach with a Lamed. And when it comes to the brach of Al-Anisim, which is not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all, it's a Birchas HaShevach. So we have a principle that if I'm obligated in the Shevach, I make the bracha, I recite it, but if let's say you're obligated in the mitzvah, you enjoyed that benefit and you are obligated to praise Hashem in Shevach Vodoya, I don't have that obligation. We don't necessarily say Yotza Motzi in that case. And Shechiyonu B'chlal is a different category of a mitzvah because it depends upon Simchas Halev. It's really, in a sense, a reshus. So can I be your shliach for the mitzvah Ner Chanukah and recite brachos like Al Anisim and Shechiyonu? And the answer is that when a person lights in someone else's house, he, of course, is not fulfilling the mitzvah because the mitzvah is Ner Ishu Beso. He can only fulfill his obligation when he lights in the front of his house, not in the front of his friend's house. He can, on the other hand, serve as a shliach for his friend, although mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho, and therefore maybe it would be preferable for the owner of the house, for his friend to light the candles and make the bracha. Rabbi Kiveger understands that the din of ner ishu beso is itself a loch of shlichus, and the Mahadrin, by its very nature, takes this shlichus and brings it to the level of mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho, that each one should light his own candle rather than fulfill it through a proxy, through a shliach. But bottom line, when the shliach lights, should he be making the bracha on behalf of the mishalech, on behalf of the homeowner? And the answer is that maybe the shliach should not make the bracha. And this is a chiddush of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to differentiate between setting up a mezuzah, kviyas ha-mezuzah on the one hand, there the shliach makes the bracha, as opposed to Ner Chanukah where the shliach should not make the bracha. Again, we're talking about a case where the mishalech, the Baal HaBayis, is not around. If the Baal HaBayis is around, then there's no problem with the shliach making a bracha, because basically Shomer Ka'ona means that the Baal HaBayis, the mishalech, is reciting the bracha when he hears the bracha of the shliach. But let's assume, for argument's sake, that the Baal HaBayis is not around, and the shliach was commissioned to light on his behalf. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's not like in mezuzah, where the shliach makes the bracha al kviyas ha-mezuzah. Here in Chanukah, he should not make the bracha. Why? He says, kviyas mezuzah, the mitzvah is the kviyas ha-mezuzah. In the case, we'll explain. In the case of Ner Chanukah, it's a mitzvah shebegufo to be mefarsim the nes from his house. That's something that only the owner of the house can do. For example, in Tefillin, we have the famous Chiddush Tosfos Rid that you cannot appoint someone else a shliach to fulfill the mitzvah of Tefillin on your behalf. You need gufo because that's the nature of the mitzvah. It's not a maisa mitzvah that relates to a person, but rather it's a mitzvah that's mekayemes begufo. So the whole Chal Shem Maisa Mitzvah doesn't apply in the case of Tefillin. And therefore Tefillin doesn't lend itself to Shlichus. In the case of Mezuzah, on the other hand, you have a Maisa Mitzvah of Kviyas HaMezuzah, and Shlichus Shalom Kemosah, it's as if the Mishalech fulfilled the Maisa Mitzvah, he implemented the Maisa Mitzvah. Where do we put Ner Chanukah? Is it similar to Kviyas HaMezuzah, and therefore lends itself to Shlichus? Or is it similar to Tefillin, and it's a mitzvah shebegufo. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was of the opinion, for one, that it's a mitzvah shebegufo. It's like tefillin; it doesn't lend itself to shlichus, and therefore, if you're lighting on behalf of someone else, it's not really a din of shlichus. There is no shlichus on a mitzvah shebegufo. Now, I don't know if Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, therefore, it's meaningless for him to do that luck, but certainly he cannot make the brach. And your question about switching the nusach ha-brach from lahadlik to aladlik, as we do in other cases of shliach, that doesn't apply. It's not relevant to Ner Chanukah, because there is no shlichus in Ner Chanukah. Okay, we'll stop here.